Well, it's what college football fans far and wide are talking about today around the water cooler. Michigan traveling to Columbus in a game that was decided in double overtime. Eventually, the Buckeyes were crowned victorious after a controversial fourth down run that eventually led to the game-winning score from Curtis Samuel. How does all this impact the college football playoff? Oh, that's one of many questions we have for current sports host Al Martin here today. Hi, Al.
Mark, how you doing? Happy Monday.
We're back at it here on the Monday after Thanksgiving. So was JT Barrett's one-yard fourth down run in overtime number two, was it a first down?
Well, that is the question, as you just alluded to, Mark. Everyone's talking about it, and it's one of those plays. Now, granted, let's just be all clear here. Michigan did not lose this game because of that play. Just want to make that clear to everybody out there, because I feel like there's so much talk surrounding around that one moment that we're forgetting about everything else that happened prior to that second overtime, right? But, you know, what I think happened was, and you look at the angle of how the play played out, Mark, you see JT Barrett, and me personally, from what I saw in the film, which is, again, it's a funny angle because they don't have an angle that goes straight down the first down line. You just have that bird's eye angle from the broadcast. And from that angle, it does look like JT Barrett's forward progress may have carried him right to the line. But what puzzled me was how the referees handled the situation. And this is where this discussion gets very interesting, Mark. The referees, what really surprised me, number one, was that they didn't even bring out the chains to measure it. Number two, they were very quick to rule it a first down. And that's what made it sticky, Mark, because once you make a call that it is a first down on the field, if it is chosen to be reviewed, which it was, there has to be indisputable video evidence. It's got to be clear cut that that football is short or past the first down line. Mm-hmm. Looking at that angle that we saw multiple times, it's not indisputable. So you know what they have to do? They have to go with the way they ruled it. But, again, that play is not why Michigan lost this game, though, Mark. There were multiple plays that played out not in favor of Michigan that led to that moment.
Jim Harbaugh was pretty displeased in the post-game press conference. What'd you make of his rant?
Yeah, you know, it was a very emotional one, Mark. And, you know, I'm wondering whether or not the NCAA is going to hand out a fine or two here, because anytime you ruffle the feathers of the officials, they come down and they attack your wallet. But, you know, looking at the rant that he had, Mark, you know, five times, I counted, he spoke of being bitter or, quote, bitterly disappointed by the officials. And, you know, just playing around with the numbers here, and I went back and looked up the season averages for Michigan and OSU when it came to penalties this season, and it's just really kind of enlightening when you evaluate them. Michigan had seven penalties. OSU had just two. That entire game, including, you know, that includes the double overtime here. OSU averaged almost seven penalties a game this season, and they only have two in that game against Michigan. So that's a bit surprising to me. That ranks OSU 78th nationally. For U of M, they averaged almost five penalties nationally. That ranks 18th. And, you know, you look at those numbers, and again, the fact that OSU just had two throughout the game, there were some questionable calls. Now, again, you don't want to blame a game on the referees, because at the end of the day, you got to go out there and make plays. But I will say that the penalty disparity between OSU and Michigan did help the Buckeyes in that matchup.
Is there now any way, I'm led to believe that there is still a chance Michigan could make the college football playoff?
How
exactly?
And there are a lot of fans that may be out there, or a lot of listeners right now listening to this and saying that you got to be crazy. I mean, Michigan, they lost to Iowa, and they now lose to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Nothing that the College Football Playoff Committee does surprises me anymore, Mark, especially when you look at these rankings that have been coming out each and every Tuesday leading up to the final ranking, which will come out December 4th. The committee loves Michigan. They've shown that. Heck, when they lost to Iowa, Michigan was still ranked, according to the committee, in the top four. The way that they played Ohio State, the number two college football team in the nation, we all know how it's going to play out. Alabama, if, in my opinion, it's Alabama, then everybody else. Alabama's going to make the college football playoff. Ohio State, with this win over Michigan, despite the fact that they won't be playing in a conference championship game in Indy this week, Ohio State's still going to make it because this win looks really sexy against Michigan. Mm-hmm. Then you look at those final two spots. Clemson, barring a crazy finish to the season, they will get in, I believe. But then you look at that fourth spot.
Washington?
I right now would have Washington. If you told me what my top four would look like, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and then Washington.
I didn't know he was going to say that.
Exactly.
By the way.
You're pretty good, Mark.
I totally improvised that.
But it's crazy to think, though, because the eye test comes into play so much here, Mark. I wouldn't be surprised if the committee said, you know what? Despite the fact that we have Penn State and Wisconsin competing in the Big Ten Championship, Michigan had such a good year. They have so many notable wins this season, including pushing the number two team in Ohio State to the brink. Why not have some fun and throw them in there? I would not be surprised if they did that. Hmm. What are the chances of them doing that? Very slim. But at the same time, I would not be surprised if they said, you know what, the heck with the Big Ten Championship winner. Let's throw in Michigan because they look pretty good throughout much of this year.
WKAR's Al Martin, host of Current Sports every day on AM 870, joins me. We're talking about weekend sports, Michigan football. Michigan State played its final game of the season on Sunday. Tough loss, 45-12 on the road. Let's take a quick look back. Where do you think we stand right now, and how do we move forward?
Well, no question, Mark, that this was a disappointing year for Coach D'Antonio. I think, you know, as I've been coming on here each and every Monday, I've been letting that be known. I think that, I mean, anybody can see that, right? I mean, you come off a year in which Michigan State, talk about the college football playoff, Michigan State played in the college football playoff to start this year, right? In Texas against Alabama, for right. goodness sake. And now to think that a year removed from that remarkable moment, that they won't even make a bowl game. Pretty insane, right? The thing is, this team is young. And they have a lot of experience now going through the fire like they did this year. They have a lot of experience now coming back next season. Granted, you look at Tyler O'Connor, who started the year as a starting quarterback, and we all know how that quarterback drama played out this season. But you look at the guys in back of Tyler O'Connor now. You have Damian Terry, who we saw and who also went out against Penn State with concussion on Saturday. But with that being said, I mean, you have Masai DeWeaver, Damian Terry, and also Brian Lewerke, who, of course, had an injury that led to his season being kaput earlier this season. You have those three competing for a starting quarterback position. I love that. You got L.J. Scott, who showed – he finished just – you need to get this, Mark. He finished just 6 yards away from 1,000 yards on the season.
That's cool.
Just 6 yards away. I mean, L.J. Scott is going to be a force to be reckoned with for time to come. You got a lot of young linemen that are maturing and have matured throughout the season. So the good thing is – despite the fact that the record is nowhere near what MSU fans expected this team to be, you still have a lot of young pups that will be assuming bigger roles, and this experience helps in that maturation process.
Let's switch gears to basketball because it's been a busy start to the season for Tom Izzo. We just got back from the Battle for Atlantis tournament in the Bahamas. We won 3 of 4, but Tom wasn't happy with the outcome. How come?
You know what? And this is something that we rarely see Tom Izzo do, but, you know, while in the Bahamas, Tom Izzo actually apologized to his team. And he came out and said that, you know what? I apologize to my team. I've always wanted to prepare, and I always believed in preparing a tough schedule, but maybe this was a bit too harsh. I mean, this is the toughest November, Mark, that this program has ever had.
And it's not over.
And it's not over. I mean, tomorrow we're talking about Duke. They have to go on the road and play Duke tomorrow,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
But they played Kentucky. They played Arizona.
Yeah.
And that's not to mention the amount of miles they put on. Mark, if you tally, and it's crazy how ESPN had a graphic that tallied the miles that Michigan State has traveled this month alone. It's longer than some NBA teams out there. It's so crazy. And, you know, this team is very young. Granted, they have a great recruiting class, arguably Tom Izzo's best recruiting class that he's ever had. But they're still young, and they're still trying to figure out who they are as a basketball team. But I love it, though, because you know what? It seems like we do this every year, though. Tom Izzo plays a tough schedule, this top-heavy schedule every single season, and he does it to see early where the holes in the boat are. Mm-hmm. So he knows how to go about plugging those holes and just exactly what his team needs to do if they want to make a deep run come March. And heck, they're always humming near March, Mark.
We've just got 30 seconds or less. What are the chances the Lions hold on to their divisional lead?
I think very good. If you look at the way that the schedule plays out for them, and the fact that, and this is the big thing, I think, that a lot of people aren't talking about, Mark, the fact that they are healthy. I mean, in comparison to everybody else in the NFC North, the Lions have all 53 members of the active roster either fully healthy or at least practicing. That's something that you can't say for any other team. And the fact that, you know, they play a few lollipops coming down here until they play the Cowboys at the end of the season. The schedule was in their favor.
And we want to congratulate the PW Pirates. I watched them win on Saturday. It was just fantastic.
How cool is that? And Jackson Lumen Christie as well.
Right.
We had two local teams play. Very good weekend.
More with Al Martin on WKAR's Current Sports AM 870 every weekday at 1 p.m. Thank you, Al.
Hey, thank you, Mark. Anytime.
Welcome back.